Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here today. Today we honor our graduates. I'm going to ask the four of them to join me up on stage. Cassie, you're up front. Hunter, Ivan, Isabella, can y'all come right up here and just stand to my left over here. These are our graduates for this year, and we are so glad that they're a part of our congregation, their families, and some of them been for a number of years, some not as long. And we have grown to know and love these people very much and wish them well as they change in a different aspect of their lives, a kind of a different chapter, closing one book and going into another. And so I wanted to have them up here for that, so that you could recognize them, number one, and number two, so that parents could get pictures. So that's what's happening there, if you see those phones pulling out right now. One of the things we like to do, and we've always done this with our young people, is that we're trying to encourage them, to give them tools by which they can grow in their journey with Christ. And so this morning, we, on behalf of the congregation, we want to give them an exhaustive concordance of the Bible. This is Strong's. I have actually one of these in my library. I use it extensively, and it's not something you're going to just read, as you can tell. You're not going to read it page to page at all. However, you're going to find this extremely helpful in understanding more clearly and more in depth, more perfectly, the Word of God. And so definitely use it and that way, and I'm sure that it will be of great benefit to you. And it says, from the Fairgrounds Road Church of Christ today, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the Word of God. And this indeed will help in that. Isabella, this is yours, actually. Don't use it as a doorstop. They're pretty big. Cassie, this is yours.
It says it's easy to read.
What's that?
It says it's easy to read.
It is easy to read. There's just a lot of it. But you won't use it that way. Hunter, this is yours. Thank you very much, guys. Graduation is a special time. Special time. It's a hectic time. There's a lot going on, a lot going on today. It's an exciting time for the graduates and their parents. And it's also kind of a time of relief. You have the young people who are graduating saying, I'm finally through. And the parents who are saying, they're finally through. And so all of that's going on. And I'm not sure which is more relieved, the parents or the graduates. But there's enough excitement to go around. And we at the Fairgrounds Road congregation are very proud of our graduates. They have worked long and hard for a long time under somewhat of a dictated learning approach. And now they are able to walk on a stage and be recognized for their accomplishments. It's also a time of reflection for them. Obviously, by the time one graduates, he has spent about 2,100 days in school in his life, about 13,000 hours in class, and that is unless you had to stay late for some reason, and over 540 days sitting at a desk. That's a long time to be sitting at a desk. And if he's 18 years old, he's been on this earth 216 months. He's probably spent about 50,000 hours of his life sleeping, some more than others. And roughly about 7,000 hours of his life eating. And that's Cheetos, cold pizza, and trips to Dairy Queen. So a lot has been piled into these 18 years, and a lot's been going on. And trust me, graduates, your parents are thinking about all these things. All these memories start kind of flowing around and being conjured up during times of graduation. And it's only natural for that to happen for you and them when they see their baby graduating from high school. They can't be any more proud. I'll never forget, it wasn't my mother that was crying, it was my father when I graduated from high school. And I walked through the line and I saw him, and boy, tears were just flowing down. And, when my mother cried, I was sympathetic. When my dad cried, I didn't know what to do. You know, so all I could do is just cry with him. So I'm just bawling going down there, you know. And he was crying because he was so proud. He was so proud that I graduated from high school. And I will tell you, your parents have that same kind of pride today. And they know that before long you're going to be going to college, going to be a different kind of schedule that you've been in. Some of you are going to be away from home. Some of you are still going to be local. But I'm telling you, they know it. You know it. Just face it. Everything's going to be different now. Everything's going to be different. It's not bad, but it's just different. And I will tell you, I know what you are graduating from. I've graduated from high school. Many of us in here have. I know what you're graduating from. My question is, what are you graduating to? I know what you've done. Because all of us who graduate from high school, we've done it. So I know what you've done. My question is, what are you going to do? I know where you've been. I know where you've been. You've been from class to class, schedule to schedule, teacher to teacher, test to test, activity to activity. Be it sports or band or theater or drama or course, whatever it is. You've done all that. I know what you've done. I know where you've been. Now where are you going? Where are you going? And that's the question that can be very, very scary. And so, what we want for you is the same thing that God wants for you, because we want to follow God. We take His advice in all aspects of our life. And I know what God wants for us, and I know what God wants for you. And simply put, here's what God wants. For all of our graduates today, He wants you to live a full life. And when I say full life, I didn't say long life, because I don't know what the future is. But I'm telling you, He wants you to live a full life. He wants you to live an abundant life. If I were to go out and just ask the public, well, what does one need to have in order to have a full life? I would probably get a lot of different responses. But the only real response, the only real answer to that question is found in our text that was read a moment ago in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly." What God wants for you is a life that is relatively free from anxiety. You're going to have some. It is relatively free from worry and fear, even though you may have a little. God wants you to have a life that's purposeful. A reason to get up in the morning. A drive in your life that's important. Something that's meaningful and something that is what the Bible would call abundant. A great deal can be said about John chapter 10 and verse 10, and we don't have the time to do it. And I don't have the time to go through a list of all the things that I learned in college and that I know about faculty that I could share with you to might be able to help you and your success in college. But I will tell you this. I want to share some things that I believe are very perfect for this occasion and will not only serve you well after you walk off that stage, but should serve you well for the rest of your life. They say that the simple lessons in life are the best. And this is a simple lesson. Some simple thoughts today. To have a full and abundant life, what does it mean? And we can't go exhaustively into this, but I want you to remember these, because these seem to be the areas where most people struggle. Because there's going to be a different kind of schedule in life that you have now. For a long time you've been told, get up, brush your teeth, shower, eat, get out of the house, go to school, do this. For most of your life, somebody has carried you, or driven you, here and there, dropped you off, been there. It's going to be different now. Not so much dictated learning where a teacher says, this is what we're doing. Everybody open your book. This is how it's going to be. You're going to do it this way. You're going to do it this way. I'm going to give you a test this way. Here's the answer. Fill in the blank. Correct A, B, C, or D. Circle the right way. All of that. It's going to be different now. It is more of an active learning part of your life than you've ever had before. And for some of you who are going away from home, nobody's going to tell you to get up. They're not going to tell you to go to class. Some won't even tell you what to study. You'll just show up for life. Like the rest of us. Welcome to the party. So what does God want for you with all that? With everything changing, what does He want? To have a full and abundant life. Number one, you don't need a lot of stuff. You don't need a lot of stuff. After college, we want you to get a paycheck. We want you four people to get a paycheck either by month or bi-monthly or weekly. We want it for a number of reasons, because we want you to be successful and be able to do various things and have various things and take care of the responsibilities and provide for yourself and for those that you know and love, and that's wonderful. And then there's a part of us where we say, we want that for you because we just don't want you in the house anymore. At some point in time, the nest has got to be empty. And parents, if you've got an empty nest right now and it's about to happen, strap in and enjoy the ride. But that's what's going to happen. But here's what happens. People go to college to get a better job so they can get more money in hopes that more money translates into full life. And I'm telling you now, that is not true.
Yes.
That is not true. If you are going to college so that you can get a piece of paper, not interested in learning anything, I just want a piece of paper where I can put on a resume somewhere where somebody will look at me and I can wear something nice, go into an office, get an interview, and then four more interviews up until the president of the company, then to turn around and get a big salary and think you're going to live a full life, I got something for you. It's not going to happen that way. It doesn't define a full life. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a story about a farmer who brought forth this great crop. It was a crop he didn't even anticipate. The man had money already. But he had this huge crop and he decided, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down the barns I have. There wasn't anything wrong with those barns. But he tore down the barns and he built bigger barns. And in verse 19 of Luke chapter 12, he said something to himself that you never need to say. I don't even want you to even think about saying it in the corners of your mind. He said, I say to myself, I have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The problem with that is this. The next verse in verse 20, Jesus said, you're a fool. You're a fool. And verse 23, Jesus said, life is not like that. Life is not like that. In verse 21, He said, so is he that lays up for treasures for himself here and is not rich toward God. If all you're working on is this, then you're a fool. You don't need a lot of stuff. Stuff is baggage. It'll weigh you down. Ask anybody who's ever cleaned out a basement. Ask anybody who's ever cleaned out a closet or a garage or an attic. A lot of stuff does not equal an abundant life. A lot of stuff equals a lot of time you're going to have to spend toward keeping it fixed, running, or rusting. And that's about it. Oh, then you got to have security because somebody's going to steal it anyway. W.T. Wagner was Secretary of the Treasury under Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was one of the richest men in Texas. Matter of fact, he used to boast by saying, this is actually him. He used to boast by saying, you can drive. I can't do a Texas accent, but I'll try. Where's Kendall when I need him? There he is. You tell me if I'm anywhere close. All right? It's going to be more like Alabama. Here it goes. You can drive 50 miles in any direction and still be on my property. That's what he used to say. 50 miles in any direction. Still be on his property. That's a man who can say, if you're not off my property in 5 minutes, I'm going to shoot you. And you might as well say, shoot now. I can't get off your property in 5 minutes. 50 miles in any direction, you were still on this man's property. He had over 500,000 acres. And when he died, people wondered how much he left. Do you know how much he left? He left all of it. He left all of it. C.S. Lewis wrote a book entitled The Screwtape Letters. It's a fictitious story about a master demon that was named Screwtape, and he's instructing a student, or kind of an apprentice demon, that was named Wormwood. And his goal is to teach this sub-demon here, this apprentice demon, how to lure man away from God. That's what the whole book's about. It's fictitious. This Screwtape is writing to Wormwood and he's saying, this is what you need to do. He's kind of training him to be a really good demon to destroy the souls of men. And there's a part in that, one of those letters that he wrote to Wormwood, there's a section there that I want you to pay attention to. Here's what he said. Prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels that he's finding his place in it. But in reality, it is finding its place in him. Go to college. Go to college not to make more money. Go to college to get an education. And use that education to glorify God. You don't need a lot of stuff. Parents may hope you have a lot of stuff, but then when they come over to the house and you spend all your time fooling with it, they're not going to be happy. And they're not going to be happy, especially if you ask them to help you with it. Life's not about stuff. Life's about a Savior. Life's about a soul. Life's about living an abundant life and not stuff. Number two, don't lose your humility. I've seen too many people through the years go to college, even Christian schools, and I have seen them nail down a very prestigious job and not as happy for them. And I've seen them come out on the other side as arrogant, egotistical human beings. People that I don't even want to be around anymore. Wherever you're able to go in this life, whatever you're able to accomplish, I don't care how many initials you got behind your name. I don't care if your name's in the paper. I don't care if you're on the front of People magazine. It doesn't matter what you do and where you go. Remember this. It's not about where or if you went to college. It's not about what your major is or was. It's not about what your parents do for a living. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about what job you have or how big your house is. It's something different. It's about remembering that the one that you serve didn't go to college. The one that you serve grew up in poverty. The one you serve never had a dime to his name, and you will never be anywhere near as good as him. The only thing he could put on his resume is, my goal is to change the world, and nobody's going to hire you for that. He was a humble servant. And because of this, he changed everything for eternity. He lived a full, abundant life and did it in a short time. Here's my point. Seniors, you want to make a difference? You really want to make a difference? Think and act like him. And I can promise you, you'll get the world's attention. Forget about the money and the prestige. That'll all come, and it may not, it may, who knows? Be like Jesus. That's it. And then, finally, set the right kind of goals. Set the right kind of goals. Set goals you can achieve. Set goals you can achieve. If you set unrealistic goals, you're only going to find yourself frustrated. Don't shortchange yourself. But set goals that you can achieve. Set goals that bring out the best in you. A 5-talent man to choose a 1-talent life means he's cheated himself. I've seen people do that. 5-talent people settle for a 1-talent life. They cheat themselves in this life. Your parents don't want that for you. Nobody wants that for you. Set goals that bring out the best in you. For a woman with the great abilities to waste those abilities on something less that she's capable of achieving is a failure no matter what she does. Set goals that bring out the best in you. And if your goals start bringing out the worst in you, get new goals. Get new goals. Number 3. Set goals to serve your fellow man. Set goals to serve your fellow man. I can't see how anyone in this life would be able to live the full abundant life that doesn't render service to other people. You just can't do it. God says, I want you to have the life. I want you to have life more abundantly. You can't do that if you don't serve other people. Whatever you spend your life doing, it ought to mean something good to somebody other than you. If you're setting your life and direction to do something in life and it's really not bringing anything to anybody else, it's the wrong goal. It has to mean something to somebody else as well. It has to impact somebody else's life. And it has to allow you to serve. And then, of course, goals that God's going to smile on. People say, I'm not really sure the direction of that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. I like that verse because it says, think on these things, which is the mindset to then produce the action. I would say it this way in relation to goals. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are fair, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and the things that are of good report, work and do those things.
Yes.
Do those things. And your goals will be approved of God. And a goal that enhances your spiritual life. Goals that enhance that life. Study the Word of God. You got a great lexicon this morning. Use it side by side with the Bible. Study. Set a goal to do that. Set a goal in your life to have the best prayer life you possibly can. Befriend the right people. The people that really have the same value system as you and love for God and worship. Nobody's going to tell you to get up anymore. Worship God. Go to Sunday school. Do your best to take advantage of every opportunity you get. Every opportunity to be stronger in the faith, deeper in love with Jesus. You say, Lamar, I got a lot to do. Well, I got to go to class. I got registration. I got 5 different courses. I'm taking 18 hours right out of the gate. I got to figure out where to park. I got to get in the dorm, or I got to do this. I got to move. I got to pack. I got to. Hey, if life was easy, they'd call it something else.
That's right.
And in addition to that, if we're too busy to live the full, abundant life, guess what? You're busier than Jesus. And that's too busy. Set goals in your life that will allow you to serve God to the best of your ability. So we sum it up. Live a full life in God. Don't be overburdened with a lot of stuff. I'm not saying you can't have stuff. You will have stuff. And if it's really cool stuff, invite me over because I like to play with it too. But don't let it run your life. Don't let it run your life. And don't let it clog up your life and redirect your life. Don't be overburdened with stuff. And whatever you do, never lose yourself. Never lose yourself. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we are indeed thankful for the day. For these 4 are graduating, we love them. We're so thankful for them. And we pray for their futures and their direction. We ask you continue to guide them and continue to love them and continue to take care of them and protect them. That you will help them as they continue to strive to live for you. Help us always to remember that you are indeed the reason why we are here. And it is because of you that we are allowed to live the abundant life. Allow the distractions to be put away of the worldly things that can cause us to lose our focus and especially lose who we are as your children. Bless us and all of them as they move on in a different place in their lives so that we can see the joy and the success that they will have in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves us more than we know. More than we may ever know. And He's gone to great lengths to show us that. He sent His Son to this earth with a message of salvation. The abundant life. By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and confessing your faith in Him and being baptized to have your sins washed away, the abundant life can be yours. Do you want that today? If it's not yours, we would encourage you to make that decision to accept the abundant life, not only here, but the abundant life one day when this life is over. He loves you so much. Let's stand together and sing.